on book, Capital N, Prime, March 16th, 2002, going to February 2003. Starting the atrionatriuretic factor cloning targeting construct again. The beginning on page one, March 16th, Saturday. No particular comments needed for the continuing of this type of construct. Thursday, March 28th, page 13, 3 prime to ANF, a targeting vector. Inserting the fragments into Duc Del on page 19, Friday, April 5th, a diagram showing what is going on there. Thinking about and revising the construct on page 27, Friday, April 15th, ANF vector with hygromycin selection in place of or in addition to the neomycin selection. Experiment needed to implement that. Thursday, April 25th, preparation of a hygro replacement fragment. Friday, the type of construct being considered again, Friday, April 26th, page 35, where the PGK promoter, phosphoglycerol kinase, ubiquitously expressed promoter driving hygromycin was being incorporated into the constructs. Clearer diagrammed on page 37, ANF vector hygro inter or hygro. Looking at the hysteresis model, beginning to understand it less. There's a description of going back to the simplest model. And realizing that the up and down event was extremely tightly linked to the change of one variable. The up is the first event and the down is the second. What was the sequence needed for flipping was being considered. Thinking about that this was related to the inflection point of the curve. Sunday, May 19th, continued to page 45. Seems possible that the down transition is related to the inflection point of the phosphorylation versus stratigraph, etc. So, theory or modeling and plasmid construction going on at the same time. That's Tuesday, May 21st, page 47. More constructs. And whereas Sunday, May 19th, modeling. Wednesday, June 12th, page 63. This is following up on the work that we'd been doing with Hyung-Suk Kim on the expression of different genes in the angiotensinogen type experiment, where we've seen a lot of gender-related differences in gene expression, thinking about this a problem, but never really being able to get at it properly. The plethora of gender-related differences in gene expression. It led me, as I've said in maybe earlier in talking about these various experiments, that I used to say, and still have said to Nibuyu, that there's more difference between males and females than there are between mice and humans. That, and it's a longer history. There is a longer history of male-female differences in mammals than there is of speciation in mammals, because males and females existed before mammalian evolution. So that the two genders are pseudo-species. The time for evolution of male-female differences is much greater than the time for evolution of differences between any mammals. This idea being written down on page 63, Wednesday, June 12th. Thank you. Monday, June 17th, anniversary of my sister's birthday, and with a buttercup, which is the name the five-year-old twins suggested that she ought to be called when she was born, when we were five. Reviewing the status of these constructs for the nth time. A lot of work, but not terribly productive in the end. So you'd typically have page 83 with Wednesday, July 3rd being a mitocan being looked at, a construct, and then the following page, and the, three days later, Saturday, July 6th, stellar flip-flopping again. So that going back to page 95, Tuesday, July 15th, they're beginning to think about using what's called a tie promoter enhancer. This is tie was a factor where tyrosine kinase related immunoglobulin and epidermal cells, I'm not quite exactly sure of what it was, but it was an enhancer of interest to us. That had been received from Thomas Sato by Suzanne Kirby. And this construct was being made further on page 103, Wednesday, July 31st, continued from M. Brian 95, making this construct to drive the enhanced screen fluorescent protein. EGFP. also starting work on a GFP gene driven by a HOX B4 cDNA. Page 109, Wednesday, August 7th, a variety of different constructs being made still. So page 115, Tuesday, August 20th, assembled and checked as HOX, IRES, internal ribosomal entry site, GFP. Stockholm on September 6th, Friday, or shortly thereafter, and returned on Thursday, September 19th. Presented a work, a talk on beta MHC versus alpha mass in heavy chain work, etc. Let me do this again. Let's page 1 summarizes rather important shift in my thinking, which. Page 131 of this notebook, which it considers a period of Friday, September 6th to Thursday, September 19th, is important insofar as my history is concerned, but not maybe as far as general science is concerned, but a change in my and the type of experiments of which I was interested. I went to Stockholm and presented the work at a symposium, nothing to do with the Nobel Prize. I went to Stockholm and presented my work on the control of blood pressure, etc. And with the comment that presented a talk on as part of the BMHC versus alpha MHC, beta mass in heavy chain versus alpha mass in heavy chain work. A colour slide on the left was how it ended. A slide is missing. But during the symposium, Carl Tryggvason presented the current views of the renal glomerular function, and in which he reviewed current views that the slit diaphragm is the molecular discriminator that prevents albumin from being excreted in the urine. And I asked him after the talk, why doesn't it clog? And he answered but before he could answer, I answered my own question with, I know how, it's the wrong way round. And I went on to quote Ogston and gel exclusion, the thought being that if the molecular sieve was at the slit diaphragm that this would cause clogging of the basement membrane, that really the molecular sieve ought to be upstream, close to where any accumulation of protein could be mixed by blood, by the passage of red cells, and over the next 12 days or so I refined this idea and wrote a 500 word brief communication to Nature, of which the figure on the left on page 130 summarizes my thoughts, that the basement membrane was the region where the size discrimination occurred, and that it occurred because large molecules can permeate into a gel very poorly relative to small molecules, and so that it would be a permeation type of gel following Ogson's equations. And the diagram on page 130 summarizes this idea. The paper was not accepted, but it did make me continue. So on page the following page, Monday, October 14th, page 133. Which is about a month later, I comment that a short paper was sent to Nature as a brief communication and was rejected with the comment that they're not interested in hypotheses. So I need to work on the steady state kinetics, etc., and some comments on what I needed to be thinking about. The page 132 has the thought, the little communication listed there, or reproduced there, the one that was rejected. So here I am saying what I need to do to improve the model. I need to work on the steady state kinetics. And realizing that it was very important to consider the change in GFR, glomerular filtration rate, which depends also on the length of the slit diaphragm, as in minimal change in nephrotic syndrome. So I began to make a model with Stella to try to understand what was happening in the kidney. On Saturday, November 16th, which is about a month later, I commented that considerable reading, literature review and thinking results in five thoughts. That the transport of albumin across the glomerulus is determined by diffusion, and that diffusion in fact accounts for most of the transfer of albumin, because the diffusion constant of albumin is not very much reduced in gels, and the dimensions are very small, and surprisingly diffusion accounts for much more movement of albumin across the basement membrane than does the liquid flow, roughly an 8-to-1 ratio. And so that if one decreases the GFR, the concentration of albumin downstream will be altered, because the amount of albumin transported is very little affected by removing flow, but the transport of water, it will go very much down, so that the concentration of albumin in the glomerular filtrate will increase and can saturate the binding or degradation sites in the tubule. So November 20th, a complete set of equations were worked out. Managed to get all the elements of the data to be reproduced without much more complexity, but that it was hard work. On the next page, page 139, Friday, January 24th, I describe the end result, and that on I sent an extended version of the original Nature paper for review for PNAS, and that in the end it was accepted and was published. So beginning of a new type of work, thinking about the kidney and glomerular basement membrane permeation, starting then. In 2003, and continuing to this day. But back to constructs, back to the bench. Monday, February 10th, page 141, making the Hox B4 driven GFP. But the return to constructs was interrupted still now with this new fascination of renal behavior. Page 149, Saturday, February 15th. Rankin and Gilmore data had shown that if you increase the concentration of albumin in the plasma, that you would get albumin in the urine at a low concentration, and trying to see if my simulation would match the data, and it did quite well. As it says, that using standard simulation and setting normal plasma albumin at 4.5 grams per 100 milliliters, an excretion at about 7.5 milligrams per day, fine matches obtained without new assumptions. So Rankin and Gilmore's data and the simulation data are both initial. Book ends still with construct making. Friday, February 28th, page 162, a repeat of the PCR for an XHO to SBF fragment. So ends book, end prime.